Hey guys, the following podcast is a Lady Gang Network and Podcast One production, which means it's going to be awesome.
Calling all Gleeks.
I'm Kevin McHale.
And I'm Jenna Ushkowitz.
We became best friends on the set of Glee.
And now we're doing the Glee recap podcast you have been waiting for.
How romantic.
Each week we'll take you behind the scenes.
Spill all the Glee tea.
And break down episodes from season one with former cast, crew, producers, and writers that brought the show to life.
This is Showman's Glee Recap Edition.
I think everyone needs a little more tardy in their lives.
Welcome to Showman's Glee Recap Edition. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Jenna.
How are you?
She's Jenna Ushkowitz.
Oh, I'm Jenna Ushkowitz.
I'm Kevin McHale.
People, if you don't know by now, I don't know.
If you don't know, now
then
you know.
You don't know.
Welcome to Showman's Recap Edition, episode 6? Are we on 6?
Episode 6.
6. Vitamin D.
Vitamin D. I love this episode.
I love this episode too.
Except for the ending. We'll talk about
it. We'll get to that.
Okay.
This episode was one of the ones I was looking most forward to just because it has a lot of, I think, nostalgia for us, positive memories filming it.
Not
necessarily positive. Jenna.
Feelings. We have feelings about it.
I have physical feelings about it.
I have emotional feelings about it.
I mean, going into this, Jenna has a permanent injury from this episode.
Yeah, I do. We also did these numbers on tour.
We did. On the first tour, we did these mashups. This is the episode where the mashup was created.
Mm-hmm. The inception.
The inception?
Yeah, no.
Conception?
Conception.
Of the
I
mashup.
Always use the word inception wrong. The conception of the mashup.
Yeah, which I think was one of the biggest contributions show had. Yeah.
Okay,
let's talk about this episode. The director was...
We're going into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, okay.
We have no time to waste.
All right, let's do it. Okay, yeah, so this episode was written by the Holy Trinity, Ryan, Brad, and Ian. Mm-hmm.
Was directed by Elodie Keen.
This was the first episode with Elodie that we had ever done.
Our first female director, which was great.
Yes, very exciting.
I really enjoyed her.
Yeah,
she had a lot of energy. We bonded. I remember also she came in for... You also have to remember...
She had some weird episodes to do, too.
Yes.
She got some really weird ones.
And coming in for these directors who are used to doing normal, standard, scripted television, you come in and like, hey... You need to learn how to shoot dance.
Oh, I remember Elodie asking you how the musical numbers had been shot,
and,
right?
Yeah, so she and I sort of had a side conversation about, like, she was trying to wrap her head around doing musical numbers, which I thought was super fair.
Yeah.
And I was like, you came to the right person, because I came from music and had been doing music videos. And I was like, look, normally shoot wide. You want to capture the dance. If it's a great number, you shoot wide so you can get it all. With us, going to use a lot of close-ups because we're not the best dancers.
We don't look great doing that. But also, it's for us, it's about telling the story, right? So you want to make sure you hit, as Brad Beaker, one of our editors and future directors, favorite directors, he would always say, like, you got to tell the story and you got to mark and write down what you need from each storyline that's moving this musical number along, right? So, like, you got to make sure you get the Rachel and the Finn and then the Tina and the Artie and the Quinn and the Puck. And so, like, you just have to, like, make sure you cover all
those little looks in every single number.
But this one's a little bit peculiar because there's not a ton of story in this one except for the vitamin D element. So let's get into this. Overall, the kids are getting complacent, and in order to light a fire under their asses, Will comes up with a plan for a little friendly competition within the Glee Club.
Competition. And what sparks all this is Will tells the kids who the competition is for the upcoming
sectionals. So it's Haverbrook School for the Deaf.
Yes.
Which we will meet later.
Absolutely.
And Jane Addams.
And the kids, let me tell you, are assholes.
They're like, we got this.
Artie says
we are.
Really,
we're like, we got this.
This begins Artie's. let me point this out now. Let me flag it for you.
Okay.
If you didn't realize Artie's not the nicest person, this is the start of it. He says some really questionable things here. And I've seen people on Twitter saying how Artie's a bit of a dick. Yes. I don't disagree with you.
Well, and you get that. And I get like, ugh, I hate Tina.
Tina's my favorite. Tina was crazy in all the right ways.
Okay, anyway. Yeah, so Artie, this is the beginning of Artie's. Artie gets, what's the word? I was going to use the word Kurt, but I can't use that. because that would
He's
confuse
just sassy.
People. Artie gets real
He's rude.
Sassy.
He's rude.
All right. So, Sue.
And maybe the best scene of the episode.
Tells Mr. Shu that kids thrive on competition. This is the quote of the episode, right? I mean, I wrote it down at
she
least.
Says
this is my favorite quote.
Kids need to be scared, and this is absolutely the quote of the episode.
All right. She says, we're dealing with children. They need to be terrified. It's like mother's milk to them. Without it, their bones won't grow properly.
Which is true. And she also has the voiceover of the century in this episode, her journal entry. When she says, me, here I am, about to turn 30. Oh, she's so good.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
There I was sitting on my couch alone, cackling out loud. I felt so ashamed, but I didn't care because she's so good. But that sparks an idea for Will. Will then decides to split up the boys and the girls to do a competition, and they all have to pick their music, mm-hmm. do the choreography, come up with the performances.
Mm-hmm. And the winner gets to perform that number at sectionals.
Yes.
One of them.
Right.
Now, this was the first time we had been broken up into groups and separated.
Right.
Since the beginning, since the pilot, right?
And there's that moment where when Will separates the boys and girls, Kurt tries to go over with the girls. And I remember that like Chris and I both felt like that. I was like, can we go with them? That one's going to be so much more fun.
It was.
No, I think our number was great.
It's funny because I remember watching it and seeing the, what did they call the tube in your mouth?
I don't even remember what that was called.
That wah, wah. Rah, and rah. I was like, oh. My God, I remember watching you guys rehearse a little bit, but I didn't see that prop until the very end.
What I do love about this mm-hmm. is that, one, these numbers weren't really story-driven at all. It was just pure entertainment and fun. And it was the first time we could sit back and like watch our friends really do something cool.
Right.
I know I said that about Bust Your Windows, where we watched it a little bit, but it was nice to like watch a group number where by this point we were in the thick of it. We were all best friends.
Right.
And here I am like watching you and Amber and Leah and Heather and Naya and Diana like mm-hmm. just go for it and act insane, especially because premise of this episode was so satisfying.
Right.
And like sitting on the other side of it, we could just sit there and enjoy
it. Laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. I remember laughing so hard because I remember Elodie being like, okay, bigger. Bigger. And like, because we were on, in theory, the Glee Club members were all on vitamin D. They were on
decongestants.
Sudafedrin. Methamphetamines. Oh, we'll get into that one. It's also, though, again, like, does this sit well in 2020? Like, Cherry just doling out vitamin D decongestants to school.
Yeah, three episodes after one of the characters completely goes away from, like, ODing on cough syrup. So there's a theme.
Doesn't
here.
Age well.
Yeah, I don't know. But it was fun to do those performances pretending we're on a bunch of Sudafed. Because you forget, I remember like watching these performances back on YouTube and things, and you see like Corey has like this insane look in his eyes. I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, oh yeah, I forget the plot point is
we're all like high.
We're
all high. Because it starts off with what, Finn? He's super, super tired. The scene that you guys shot, do you remember that scene? When he's sleeping and you wake up and he has the drool? Was that his choice?
That.
Do you remember?
I don't remember whose choice it was, but I just remember them putting it on
like,
him.
Ew.
And like looking into the camera and doing it. It was just so fun. It felt fun because this whole thing of like splitting us up, it felt like school when teachers actually do split you up or teach a class outside and like feel special and different. That's what this felt like for the first time. It like broke it up for us.
Mm.
I also remember, do you remember shooting these scenes? They like would take out the choir room wall. To shoot the musical number.
Yeah, that was new. We walked into the choir room when they called us to set, and you're like, "Where's the wall?"
Yeah, the wall that Shu would use as the
chalkboard.
The dry erase board. That wall can be removed so they can get the camera in there to get like the wide angle on the performance numbers
on the built-in risers in the choir room.
I was also like wondering why. Well. not why, but you see the jump in budget the Glee Club gets from this, where they have like scaffolding and lighting, which seems impressive, and on the back is just like a sheet hung, and then cut to like auditorium performances where we have like pyro and you name
cages
it.
Cages.
Yeah, like the craziest stuff.
It's
like, oh, our budget
flying
was more modest here. But I did like, we were really like leaning into using the choir room fully.
Right.
Which was nice. Like after Road's Not Taken, where you see them perform maybe this time and you have the spotlight.
I love that.
And all that stuff where they were getting more creative with it, which I enjoyed.
Yeah, I think it's funny to flag this now too. The fact that eventually we won't be able to raise enough money for a short bus or any handicapped ramps. But yet, the costumes, the mm-hmm. lights, that, the sets.
The thing I have in my
really
mouth for this number.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
The leather jackets.
Yeah, the costumes. Like, is Mercedes still making these costumes? That's never brought up again.
Remember that we decided earlier on that I was going to help make costumes, or Tina makes costumes. Oh, it does happen in, like, later seasons,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
She does make costumes. Well, they didn't know what to do with her. Okay. Anyway. We have, okay, before we get to these musical numbers, there's the whole baby thing is quite wild as
wild.
Well. And we'll get to the adults later because we have the awesome and very hilarious
Terry Schuster.
Oh, Jesselyn Gilsig coming into the studio to chat with us about her experience.
Which is fun because
gone too soon.
Because we didn't get a lot of like chance to hang out with her to.
Yeah. But she was so awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, what a cool chick. But the baby. when Quinn agrees in the hallway to just give her baby up to Terry, there's no deal. It's just
the wife of one of the teachers.
My baby.
Like, they don't even know each other.
Oh, boy.
Like, what is happening?
She's like, but you can't know about it.
I thought Finn being the like Trojan, not Trojan horse is not the right thing, but sort of the guinea pig mm-hmm. of the vitamin D thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Terry thinking it's a great idea, and he gets all the guys to take it, was wonderful and insane because he's just a big old puppy. He's
yeah.
Like, yeah,
yeah,
this is great. I also love how like why is everyone so tired suddenly?
It's like
why is everyone just so sleepy? Like maybe that's the bigger issue. Like why isn't anybody talking about why everyone
is tired? It's like look tired in this episode.
Which was easy. I mean, a lot of times we were filming this at like 6 a.m. So
that's
we
true.
Were.
That's fair. That's fair.
Like, I can yawn.
These numbers are.
Look, we did how many numbers, hundreds of numbers,
so many.
And do these numbers stick out to you still as some of the most memorable?
Yeah, definitely.
So.
Yeah, and I think because it was the birth of the mashup and we were so excited to do Beyonce, I also feel it still because when we were shooting Halo Walking on Sunshine, I remember we were like, all right, we have to look 10 times as crazy as we normally do in a performance.
We already look pretty crazy.
Yeah. So Heather and I decided we were going to take some 5-hour energy shots and Red Bull. And so
that sounds dangerous.
Zach would be like, with the head more. And I was like, well, I'm just going to go for it then. And I'd be whipping my head. And if you go back to the episode and you see my hair is like flying like Little Mermaid style, my neck hurt so bad from the whiplash the next day. During the number, they put Icy Hot on our backs and we were sweating. And oof. When that happens, it burns really bad. And so Heather and I had put a bunch of Icy Hot.
I just remember the smell of it.
On the back of our necks. And it was burning so bad. And I was like, I'm on fire. I'm literally on fire right now. What did I do to myself? And Heather's like, your whole back is red. And I was like, your back is red. We were massive. And to this day, and especially last night, I have to sleep with a Tempur-Pedic pillow. And my neck is so bad that I can't fully turn it all the way.
She's trying to turn it right now.
It's like, it's a mess because of this.
That's the kind of dedication that Jenna Ashkowitz has.
And Heather Morris.
Yeah.
Heather's like a trained dancer and she probably doesn't. But she said that she actually has pain still in her neck from this.
So I was looking at the number, I was looking at that moment, like, what is the move that must be doing this? And there's a moment where you guys are sitting on the end of the riser.
Yep.
And your ear is straight up hitting either shoulder.
I used to sit.
And it is wild. I'm like, I didn't know anybody's neck could bend that far. And they are doing it with a smile on their face. Oh, it is wild.
It was a nightmare.
I remember recording. I went to the recording studio for the boys' song, the It's My Life Confessions Part 2 mashup. I had like a mini meltdown in the recording studio because I couldn't reach the note.
And was I there?
I'm temperamental in the recording studio.
You are.
I get really in my head, and I'm not the most positive thinking person. It was the first time I had like a real panic about, oh God, am I going to get fired again? Because
like, still, yeah, episode 5.
Yeah. I'm like, am I going to get fired? Because they're going to be mad at me, the producers, because I'm taking so long because I can't hit like this one line. And I was so upset, and they're like, okay, it's going to be all right. You take 5, you come back, and just do it. And then I got, I think, one take. And
they did it.
Yeah.
You did it.
And then I did it on tour, and it was fine.
Kevin?
Yeah?
Did you actually think you were going to get fired from this show?
Yes, yeah. All the time.
All the time.
You guys were on a network broadcast primetime
show. I had no idea how it worked. I was so scared of Ryan, I figured that it could happen at any moment. Mm-hmm. I think I was just worried about
getting fired.
Yeah, if I was just doing a good job. Like, am I playing this character correctly? Am I as funny as everybody else? Like, yeah. Is this how it's, when they wrote this, is this how they meant it to sound? And I think everyone probably felt that way, but no one was really verbalizing that. And it was my first real acting gig. For most of us, it was.
Yeah.
And so, especially when you are around people like Jaima and Jane and Jessalyn, like these sort of like comedic titans that are just hilarious, and Michael Malley, like everything they did was brilliant. I was questioning every single thing I did.
I actually, when we were watching the early drafts of the pilot, like cuts, they left my name off the credits, and for the entire time until we got to work, I thought I was getting fired for sure. I was like, they left me off the credits, I'm fired. But that would ended up being a running theme that they would just forget about me sometimes.
Oh,
so
it was this weird
thing.
It was a really weird thing. Like, we had the Glee 3D movie poster.
And they left me off the poster, and they cut my number out of it.
Nobody
and they didn't
told
tell
her.
Me.
Mm-hmm.
So we were at the premiere. I was with all my people, and they cut it out.
Before we keep going, let's give a shout-out to Rothy's, which I've been hearing about for forever because Jenna is obsessed. And I'm excited, Jenna, for you to please inform the public why you love them so much.
I will gladly share about Rothy's Kevin McHale because literally I have so many pairs of these sneakers. They are actually made out of recycled plastic water bottles.
What?
Which, eco-friendly, my favorite. They have grown to like be such a huge brand. I see people wearing them all over the place. And they have over 1,000 nearly perfect reviews. I literally have navy, gray, black, and I wear them every day out to record the podcast, out to dinner. I love them.
You're always in them.
So cozy. So cozy.
You're a star. Go to rothys.com/showmance to get your new favorite flats. Rothys are the perfect everyday shoes for life on the go. They're stylish and comfortable, and they go with everything from yoga pants to dresses and skirts, and they're seamlessly knit using thread made from plastic water bottles. Like, what?
No.
I didn't know that was possible.
It is. They are amazing. And in fact, Rothy's has diverted over 35 million water bottles from landfills. Isn't that crazy?
That's wild.
And another major bonus, they are fully machine washable. So every time they need a refresh, you can like toss them in the washing machine and the soles come out. So you can also wash those separately. So, you know, I don't wear them with socks. I put them in the washing machine all the time and they come out like brand spanking.
It's actually legitimately very nice when a brand has really good products and actually cares about the environment and is doing things and giving back.
Agreed.
So if you need some Rothy's, go to rothys.com, rothys.com/showmance to get your new favorite flats.
Comfort, style, sustainability. These are the shoes you've been waiting for. Head to rothys.com/showmance today.
Hey guys, it's Kelty Knight from the Lady Gang Podcast. If you're into getting a very sassy, sexual, beautiful, inspiring, funny, oftentimes embarrassing, slightly anal podcast in your repertoire, subscribe to us, Lady Gang, on Podcast One, the Podcast One app. And please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
I remember you guys rehearsing this and then watching this on the day. Remember, like, thinking, oh my God, Corey looks crazy.
Yeah.
He's just, like, rocking out in his own, like, Frankenstein way.
I also, like, stole some of my best, like, my friend Cleo. Mm-hmm. She had this dance move she would do where she would, like, take her thumb and, like, go across her thumb.
That's that?
It wasn't actually, yeah, she would do, like, we'd be in high school and she'd look at me and she would do that. Like, she was going to kill me. And so I'm like, Cleo, I'm going to take your move. So if this ever airs, you'll see it. And so I stole, a lot of times I would steal my friends' dance moves and put it in them as like a shout out to my friends.
That's, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. You learn something new every day.
Yep.
I appreciate that. And I also remember seeing Harry get to, like, watch Harry Shum do his, like,
oh, so good,
his stuff for the first time. Like, yep, that was the first time we got to see him, like, really freaking kill it. Like, what?
Yeah, it was like, that's why I think this was a good opportunity to showcase other people and break everybody out of their comfort zone.
And also fun to just sit there and watch your friends.
Yeah, and be lazy.
I was like, oh good, we only have one number in this episode. That was nice too. All right. The adult storylines are conniving in this episode. It's dark.
Brad Falchuk just texted me back.
Oh.
He said he doesn't remember who came up with the mashups, but he would think Adam Anders, the music producer.
Ooh. Yeah. Interesting. So it wasn't the three of them.
Possibly not.
Brilliant.
That makes more sense that Adam Anders would come up with that.
For sure.
Great. Shout out to Adam Anders. Have we talked about Adam Anders?
Adam Anders and his brother Alex Anders were the producers, music producers, who
It was Adam and his partner in Sweden.
Right.
They were, so it was like a 24-hour shift, basically.
So Adam would like do it, and then he would send the files off, and then they would comp.
And then Alex came in a little bit later.
And
he would like engineer all of our... He'd be putting up with us.
Oh my God, poor guy. But these guys like vocal produced our all of the numbers, and they
made us sound like we could
sing.
Were
brilliant, yeah.
When we didn't even know the songs.
I was like, wow, you guys rock. The baby story and Will and Emma, first of all, Matt Morrison with that mustard on his face was just...
Whatever vehicle you need to use to get to Sue talking to them is fine.
That's fair.
But whatever condiment on his face you need to, because
that was a great scene. I love that scene. But so Sue in this episode decides that she's going to try and convince Terry to move her and Will out of town, and to never come back, so that the Glee Club can be abolished.
I feel like Sue's level, her commitment to being conniving in this episode, I feel like Mitch McConnell's inner monologue must be a lot like Sue Sylvester, because it's next level manipulation of getting somehow getting Terry. She pushes the nurse down the stairs
and then tells Terry that they need a job and that Terry needs to come in and infiltrate because Will and Emma are getting too close.
It's House of Cards level. It's like just short of murder.
And what does Sue Sylvester say? She goes, and that blouse, Ellen. It's brilliant. It's just brilliant.
And I feel like I really love the intricacy of pitting everybody against each other. Also, it's fun when you can get the thing that we were missing from Terry is that she had no interaction with the kids.
Right.
And so you get Terry Schuster involved
in school.
And of course, she makes it insane.
She's just insane. Well, she's like, I'm the school nurse.
Also, I love how she didn't tell Will. She just shows up.
I work here now.
Surprise, bitch.
We get to have lunch every day now.
And he's not nice to her. It's wild. It's so thinly veiled. I do like the part two. We were talking about this of how it goes to they have nothing to talk about anymore.
I can't. That's one of my favorite scenes from this episode as well, when they're like, now we have nothing to talk about. And it's just... whips to them in their dining room, and Terry's talking about ants. I saw a hill of ants today.
Fun fact. The whip.
The whip is the thing.
The camera whip was absolutely... That was a huge device in the show.
Whip to flashbacks.
Mm-hmm. And I just remember learning how they do the whip, because I wonder if somebody can slow-mo down the whip, because if you do, you'll just see set you'll see all the crew and everything because they would just whip to whatever else was on the other side of the room.
So the camera would literally just turn.
Yeah. And that's
some 90 degree or 100. Yeah, whatever.
And that's when we transition into like flash forwards and flashbacks.
Or slush. Yeah, exactly.
All that stuff. The whip is a big device on Glee.
It was a very big
anyway.
Device. Shout out to
Andrew Mitchell
and Dwayne Malachi.
Wonderful camera department.
It's the best camera department.
Penny, Ben, Corey.
Oh, God, all of them. So Terry decides she's going to give Finn. She's the one who gives Finn the pseudoephedrine because she used to do it when she had to get through all of her exams and extracurriculars in school.
To be fair, if you were doing this episode now,
Adderall.
It would just be Adderall.
Yeah, 100%.
Which I feel like Sudafed is probably the safer choice. Also, isn't it Sudafed where you, like, you can't buy...
Like, yeah, you have to go...
Shishin's poor Howard Bamboo to go buy, what, like 52...
Yeah, she gets him to be the drug mule.
Yeah, but like you can't do that, right?
Howard Bamboo is the drug mule.
Poor Howard Bamboo.
No, you can't do that. Yeah, you have to go buy it now behind the counter.
Because isn't that what they used to make meth or something?
So, no. Yes. But I actually... David had a cold. Early on in our relationship, David had a cold. And I was like, let me tell you, I pop one 12-hour pseudoephedrine. And it makes – I don't have a stuffy nose all day long. So I gave it to him at like 5 p.m.
Oh, you
8
idiot.
PM.
You hate him.
Because I take them at night. And they don't bug me like
what?
That. What? So he took it and he was up all night.
No.
And he was like, no. I read the box. And it's like insomnia is one of the symptoms or one of the side effects.
Yeah,
and I
no
was
sleep.
Oh, what? I take one in the morning and one at night. So it's a 12-hour.
So you could be a high school nurse because this is what Terry Schuster was
right.
doing. That's how much knowledge she had about it as well. Well done, Jenna.
So Terry also, it's like this like domino effect of everybody being so conniving. Well, so Terry then decides
Terry's
she's going to convince Ken Tanaka to propose
yes.
to Emma. So she can get Emma out of her hair.
I mean, good for her. She's got a plan.
I know.
She's sticking to it. She's like the Lindsey Graham.
Oh, my God, Kevin.
Sorry. I'll stop. I think she's smarter than Lindsey Graham, though.
I mean, definitely.
I'll keep politics out. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's just frightening. It's frightening how reflective it can be. So then I like this scene, too, when Terry and Emma... are in
oh,
Emma's office because we don't see those women together, like the adult women together
yeah.
very much. And that I got nervous again because I forgot what happened.
Yeah,
so I was
same.
Like, oh, God, what's she going to do to poor Emma?
Yep.
Poor baby Lamb.
I really like them together because they're also both
so
incredible actresses.
Yeah.
And like seeing them play a scene, a complex, weird scene.
I love
was
it.
Juicy.
And here's the thing. Terry did have a good point. She's like, I'm not backing down, so you better back the fuck off because you're after a married man. Like,
yep.
as crazy as Terry is and will, you know, we will see, it's like...
She's married to him.
You know, bitch is right.
Can I just mention two weird things
yeah,
really
go for
quickly?
It.
Or one weird thing is when... Will splits the kids up. Sorry to go back to this. It just made me think of it.
No, I love it.
There's that new mysterious dance room where they're rehearsing.
It's the ballet room that Rachel takes class in.
Yeah, but it just like sort of comes up out of nowhere.
Well, I think the girls shot in there a lot more than the boys.
They did, but like, was this the first time we saw it?
Yeah, for sure.
It's like, oh, what is this new extra dance room? Also, like, there's a ballet class
when Mercedes
school.
Is doing my nails in the room.
Yes.
I was like, don't mess with my nails.
And you're all so mean. I loved it.
Side note, also, at that point, Tina, with her blue hair, also had blue nails the whole time. And it would... stain my cuticles. So I would have to go get manicures all the time because I would have blue cuticles. And it was horrific because nobody really saw my nails anyway. So why do it? Okay, moving on. And then we go to the baby. So, well, no, let's go back because Emma then gets proposed to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This is the proposal.
She's got to think about it.
And she's got to think about it, but she agrees that she'll marry Ken, but she wants to keep her last name and live on separate parts of town and have a secret marriage. It's just so funny.
Everybody is really, really mentally complex. Everyone's got a lot of issues. Everyone's... what is everyone doing?
I don't know. I don't know. This is when it starts to get a little wild.
But I do feel like
we get like we're wilding out now.
This is what happens though. Like small towns. I grew up in a pretty small town. Like people just are bored, so you're just playing with each other.
And then we get to the baby where Quinn decides that she's going to give Terry her baby.
A relative stranger.
Right.
Like, she's pretty much a stranger.
With no real agreement of no words of adoption, just you can have my baby.
After Terry's
I like my life.
Pressured her.
Yeah.
And then she makes
her.
Quinn feel bad, but like, well, who's going to pay for it? It's like, well, you want this baby, but she doesn't
know.
Do that.
No, Quinn does. Yes. She says, she's like, well, it'll be your baby anyway, so you're going to pay for all this stuff. And Sue joining the Glee Club as co-captain.
Which is the first.
I remember.
I this is the first of, I don't know how many times this happens. Third thing to flag is how many times does Will Schuster either get kicked out of the Glee Club from being the coach or leave sort of, or then have a co-captain. Like there's these weird things that prevent him from being just the teacher. Like, oh, now Sue's here because there's nobody else to
choose. They need roadblocks for Mr. Shu. Yeah. We need roadblocks. Do you remember shooting the scene when we get in trouble when they reveal Sue at the end when he's like, you guys?
Yes.
That's a very vivid scene in my memory.
Mine too.
And I remember it because I think the camera work behind it was something different that we'd never done before. And that's when I remember going, oh, this is Elodie likes to do these weird camera things, stylistic things, where it started off really zoomed in on, I think, like maybe three of us, and then it backed out into everybody in the choir room.
Right.
And I don't, it's so.
Oh, I do. Yes, I.
Vivid. And then there's another episode, and I can't remember what it is. We'll get to it at some point, I'm sure, where we're all staring at the clock. And yes. Elodie does the same thing.
Yep. What happens when we're looking at
the time?
Well, yeah, and when we were looking at Finn Drool, it's that thing too. We're like looking into the camera,
and then like,
and he turns around, and then he's the camera. Yeah.
But anyway, that was a very vivid scene as well. And then I remember working with when Jane Lynch came in, and we were working with her, and she was, you know, doing her little thing. I remember all of us laughing because we were like, "Oh my God, we get to work with her."
We never get to work with her.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I remember going to work with her, like, "Oh my God!" I texted my family, like, "I get to be in a scene with Jane Lynch today.
It was like very.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, I remember her coming in and rehearsing. And you're like, she looks so tall.
It's like she's
so big.
Funny.
She's like very regal.
We were idiots.
I know, such idiots. But it's so exciting. It was such an exciting time.
But we were all fans of each other, so that was nice.
I know.
Before we keep going, I would like to let you in on a little Glee secret. We used to drink what we would call sparkle water on set, and that's sparkling water. And Jenna, do you know what America's top-selling brand of domestic sparkling water is?
What?
LaCroix! Let's talk about a segue. LaCroix sparkling water was developed to give health-conscious consumers refreshment, flavor, and sparkle. Say it with me, Jenna.
Sparkle!
With an innocent twist of zero calories, zero sweeteners, and zero sodium. All LaCroix flavors are confirmed to be derived from natural sources with natural fruit essences. And the newest flavor, which is my new favorite, is hibiscus. They also have tangerine and apricot and cran raspberry, orange, grapefruit. I could keep going.
And the LaCroix family also includes six LaCroix Curate flavors, including cherry lime, kiwi watermelon, cantaloupe, pink grapefruit, and there's also newly added flavors to the Nicola theme like coconut cola, mojito, and Sumatra coffee and cola, all of which contain no caffeine or alcohol. LaCroix sparkling waters and LaCroix Curate sparkling waters are gluten-free, vegan, kosher, non-GMO, Whole30 approved, and environmentally friendly. LaCroix cans are perpetually sustainable and recyclable.
For more information, join the LaCroix community on social at LaCroix Water or check them out at LaCroixWater.com.
Well, Jesslyn Gilsig is here. We're going to bring her in, Terry Schuster. I feel like I'm so excited to talk to her because I feel like she really, working on a Ryan Murphy show before, set the tone as the adult, like as one of the adult storylines, like with Matt, that like she just got it. It was so ridiculous. And yet, I know we said this before, but like so grounded in a way and believable, yet these situations were so wild. And it was just so brilliant. And now watching them back, I'm like, oh my God, what a fucking comedic genius. Like, so good.
So good.
And her and Jennifer Aspen together, Kendra. Oh, we'll get into that at some point too. But let's chat with Jesslyn Gilsig, right?
Right.
Right.
Podcast One has some exciting news. It's official. Our shows are now available on Spotify, and it's free. We want to make it super easy for you and your friends to listen to our podcasts, and joining Spotify allows us to be in even more places for fans to find us. If you're already listening to music on Spotify, you can now listen to our podcasts in the same place. If you're not on Spotify yet, all you have to do is download the free app. That's right, no credit card necessary, and simply search for our shows to start listening.
Okay, we have Jesslyn in the studio. Woo! So weird. When was the last time we saw you?
Oh my goodness.
Like the rap? Did you come to rap? No.
I didn't either.
You were in London.
Yeah.
I think it was that finale. Oh, remember that finale production? And then they brought in the grown-ups, and then we sat. Right. They didn't know what to do with us, so we sat in the audience.
Yeah, that was an emotional day.
They don't know what to do with you. They just like put you in the audience.
They did.
Like, you guys just sit there.
We're like, yeah, okay, we're the old ones. We'll be over here. It's all good.
So good to see you.
Thank you.
It's so good to
Thanks
see
for
you.
Coming.
Gorgeous to see the both of you.
I can't stop smiling.
I feel exactly the same way. I've been looking forward to this in an unhealthy manner, but I'm really happy to be here.
Also, you look the exact same.
Literally.
Oh, well, yeah.
You do.
$5 later.
So Jenna and I have been going through these episodes, obviously, and I think now the biggest thing now being a decade out of this season
Don't say that.
Is that we can sort of objectively watch it and not think about what we were doing at the time.
Sure, yeah.
And the biggest thing, I think, is like your storyline.
Oh, my God.
Because at first, what I thought as like a 20-year-old kid was like, she's crazy. And that was sort of, I'm like, she's hilarious and good, but like, this is a really crazy, weird storyline.
Uh-huh.
And now watching it back, it's my favorite storyline.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Well, I just want to say that I appreciate a new perspective on Terry, because I never understood why she was so hated. And I think it's in this episode, that's her husband.
Yes.
Right?
Step off.
That's what I said.
Right?
She had so much right in to say to Emma, move back.
Yeah. That's my husband. Right. It's not your business. And maybe we needed therapy. It's possible.
Yes.
Maybe it wouldn't even have worked out.
Right.
But my daughter, I was watching with my 13-year-old now, and she was like, why do they like her? Is it because she's pretty? And I was like, it's because she's pretty and she wears berets. And that just made her better than me. You know, she had much more sympathetic wardrobe than I did.
Yes.
She did. She definitely did.
Right. But still, yeah, I always sort of wondered why if people weren't more just protective of the fact that she was married to the guy. I mean, okay, granted, she lied about the pregnancy, but that was a desperate move to save what she knew she was losing.
Yeah, they weren't talking about, like, the psychological ramifications of, like, why she was doing that in the first place.
Right.
I want to go back. Well, first, I would like to know what it was like for you to watch an episode, and when was the last time you watched an episode before?
That's the first time I think I've watched an episode since probably – did we used to do screenings at the studio?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, probably since the screening at the studio then.
Wow.
Yeah,
what was
I never
it like?
Watched them. It was great. Huh. It's a great show.
Huh.
It's amazing. And like you said, to watch you guys, to watch everybody's performances, to watch how settled everybody is in their characters, to watch how confident the show was, how it had this pace to it that I think is – you know, there's so much content now, and then you realize, wait, this is on a really high level, and I really enjoyed it. And I don't love watching myself, but if you watch yourself 10 years ago, you don't really recognize yourself anyway. So, like you say, you have a little more distance.
Right.
I really enjoyed it. It was fun.
You were also very good.
Thank you.
Brilliant.
What was so fun about this was like finally getting you in the school to interact with all of us.
I know.
Which was
finally.
And you can just create mayhem.
I was so short-lived. I was so disappointed that it was so short-lived, but it was so much fun to walk into those dynamics, even when Sue comes to the house.
So weird. So weird.
And the worlds collide. It was just so...
She's like, you guys need to move out of town.
Oh, my God. I suggest you move away. And what did she say at one point? She says, well, I'm not an American citizen, but I've run for elected office twice.
Yes. I write through
so
my phone.
Brilliant.
It's like, what?
It's Ian Brennan for you right there.
Yeah,
oh,
seriously.
My God.
And then your principal, you also got to work with Iqbal at that point. We haven't really talked about Iqbal yet on the show.
Sweet, sweet Iqbal.
He's such a
Iqbal.
Good example. That you could take that character and build just a show on him.
Yes.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's enough already in what he's doing. Yes, we worked with Iqbal.
And we also lost Howard Bamboo when we lose Terry. And that's, I mean,
that's
how
a tragedy.
Howard Bamboo is the MVP of season one, aside from you. I think
100%.
I would like to see a spinoff with Terry and Howard.
That's okay. We own it. We said it right
there. Yeah.
We're doing it.
Yeah, Iqbal was amazing. And we have that scene when we go into his office and I'm in trouble because I encouraged Howard Bamboo to buy a healthy amount of cold medicine.
An illegal amount.
Apparently. But I didn't tell him to buy it all in one place. And he gets arrested. And poor Iqbal had to say methamphetamines.
Yes.
And when you think about it, that's kind of a word that's a little bit in the vernacular now, unfortunately. Yeah, sure. It's a bigger part of our culture. At that time, it was a word not a lot of us had tackled. So he kept saying methamphetamine. It was just the way you guys are laughing. So, oh my God, Matthew and I started laughing. And we couldn't stop. And we were in physical pain. We were crying. And have you ever had that thing where you break on set so badly that you think you're going to get fired?
Yes.
Well, yeah, we always thought we were going to get fired. So.
I mean, people are really mad.
Yes.
And they're really pissed off.
Yeah.
And you're really blowing the day. And yet he kept being like, these are the methamphetamines. And in fact, when I watched the show last night, I noticed that they actually cut away from him when he says it. So they must have had him loop it later.
Oh no.
Good catch.
I remember Matt telling us about that and being like, I don't think I've ever laughed harder.
I really think I haven't. What do you guys do when you what were your tricks to stop yourselves from laughing?
I pinch myself.
You pinch yourself?
I would frown really hard.
Not see, subtle. Artie frown a lot.
I frown a lot because usually like
now that explains your performance.
Yeah, exactly. I'm upset all the time for just trying not to laugh.
Kristen Chenoweth used to say dead puppies, dead puppies, dead
That's
puppies.
It. I think horrible things.
And I'm like, dead puppies makes me laugh in that moment.
Same.
That's funny. That is funny.
You tried that with me. You'd be like, dead puppies, and I would lose it every time.
So much worse. It's a really scary feeling because you've lost control of your body at that point.
Yeah.
It was really.
And but people just want to get home.
Oh, yeah. People hate you at that. That's when people hate actors.
Yes.
Because it looks so indulgent, but you actually
just can't
help it. Yeah.
Your psyche goes somewhere else. Like, it's like your whole body. You leave your body, and that's it.
Definitely.
Please, Jenna. Well,
thank you, Kevin.
Yeah.
You were on Nip/Tuck before this, so you had experience with Ryan Murphy shows and the tone, which was a very different tone, but in the same realm, it's like heightened, right? Everything is heightened.
You know what he's looking for.
Well, I'll tell you guys a funny story. I don't know if you know, the way that I got the role was that Ryan called me. I was working on Heroes, and he called
That's
me.
That's right, you're on Heroes.
I was the fire starter.
Yes.
That's right.
I love that show.
Yeah, it was fun. So I'm working on Heroes, and Ryan literally calls me on my mobile telephone and says, I've written a show, and there's this part, and I'm having a lot of trouble casting it, and I think you could play it. And I said, of course, I would absolutely love to. So I actually called my reps at the time and said, oh my gosh, I think Ryan Murphy just offered me a job on his pilot. And my rep said, don't worry, we already told them you're too old and you can't sing.
What?
True
Did
story.
Did you fire them?
In
still
time,
with them.
No.
But, what?
Yeah, it was so odd because the thing is, I'm older than Matthew.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And all right, you don't have to like jump.
Matt was also very close to us in age at some point. I was like, looking, he's like.
So, like, during season one, he's the age of that, like, we are now, that I am now. And I'm like, what?
I know. This has got to be a trip for you
he
guys.
He looks older.
Yeah.
Then
forget it. Stop
okay,
talking.
He can play
anyway,
older.
I was born before Matthew Morrison.
Okay,
it's just a fact. So, but the thing about Ryan Murphy, what makes Ryan doesn't care about any of that stuff.
No.
He does not give a shit, right? So I was encouraged to call Ryan and tell him that I was too old, which was so uncomfortable. Everyone said, you got to call him. You got to tell him how old you are. He thinks you're younger than you are. You're not as young as he thinks you are. I mean, I was like, guys, okay, calm down. So I called him and I said, I've been encouraged to tell you that I think I'm older than you think I am. And he said, I'm not kidding. He said, this is what I know. You are somewhere between 30 and death. and that's what I need for this part. Okay? Right?
How have I never heard this story?
It's incredible. God.
It needs to be engraved in a wall somewhere in your home.
I mean, the things that this man, the way this man does, he's not going to be told what to do.
Right.
Yeah.
So he said, why don't you come in and meet Matthew? And why don't we decide if you're believable as a couple?
Great.
So we come in and I meet Matthew and he has a mature look. And it's fine. It's fine. I mean, I think it's a question of maybe 6 years. I mean, it's not.
Not for a second did I ever think that there's anything.
But it's so Hollywood. You know, you as a woman, to be the peer to a man, you actually have to be 15 years younger than he is.
It's also interesting that in that respect, that it's your reps telling you that. Because a lot of times you hear stories about the show creators or that side of it being like, oh, no, you're too old. You're too this.
If the creator thinks that you're good, like,
that's it. Why would anybody? And I think Ryan, I can't really speak for him, but I'm assuming he was like, why are people telling me? So anyway, so it was amazing. I went in. I actually remember going to the mall and trying to find a blouse that made me look younger.
Oh.
And I bumped into wardrobe designer
Lou.
And I was like, Lou, does this make me look younger? Does this make me look younger? And she was like, honey, just go. Just show up. So anyway, long story longer. We get to set on the first day. And I didn't know what Ryan wanted. So I thought, well, I'll just do what I did on Nip Tuck, which was Gina. Yes. So I'm literally walking to set on Sheets and Things, to the Sheets and Things set, and Ryan stops me and he says, listen, I don't know who this woman is. The only thing I know is she's nothing like Gina. I was like, what? That's
fired.
All I have.
Fired.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Great.
So that's how Terry was born.
That's how Terry was born, from the door of my trailer to the front door of the Sheets and Things, which was in, I think, Woodland Hills.
Oh my,
it was called Linens and Things or something. And I had to figure it out in whatever, about 100 yards.
That's why you are always working.
Brilliant.
Desperate times, desperate measures.
Wow.
Yeah. But like you say, I love working on shows like Ryan's because they are so specific. They're so – you have – if you are word perfect, if you really learn that script, it will do it for you.
Yeah.
It will carry you. It's almost like reciting poetry or something where you just think, well, I'm just going to ride on the words.
Yeah.
But you have to stay out of the way. You can't comment on anything that you're saying. You just have to speak it as a truth.
Hmm.
That's a really – really good point.
Yeah, it is.
Because I try that in every other audition now, and it doesn't work.
It doesn't always.
It's like you have to make choices.
You have to generate something. Yeah, you have
but
to
that,
make something
we lived
happen.
On that for so long where it just – it took us. That's – oh, my God.
It's like
spoiled.
Really good
Thank
theater.
Thank you for that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we did get spoiled because you really – and didn't you always get the pages and you think, I get to say that?
Yeah, exactly.
I just have to say that as clearly as possible because I just need people to hear how brilliant.
Well, especially your stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you had a lot to work with.
I did.
And I think that Jenna always says too, like – you were able to play such a seemingly heightened character, but it always seemed grounded, and that's probably why. Because you also didn't get why people didn't like her.
I didn't at all. I mean, I never even anticipated that. I think you have to approach every character as their own. You know, they're a hero of their own story, and they're just we've all manufactured a truth that we live by, and we just are completely committed to it. I mean, look at Sue. I mean, you know, that she's such a good example. If she says things, and you know it's inane, but at the same time,
like,
it's sort of defensible.
You know? Like, sure.
So it was such, I mean, yeah, I think I probably, you probably share this feeling with me, where I missed this level of script. It was such a delight.
Yeah.
And Steve, our amazing producer, was bringing up, like, had you just swapped around who the antagonist and protagonist were in the script, you would have a completely different view of who's right and wrong.
That would be a really cool thing to do, actually, just to sort of follow it through.
Good idea, Steve.
Yeah.
Good
idea. We have two show ideas.
One of my other favorite scenes was when you were with Emma, you know, when we were talking about the fact when you were like, back down, bitch. And that, to me, I was like, oh, it's like our two main, like, ladies in, like, the first five episodes that you see.
Uh-huh.
And you hadn't seen them together really yet one-on-one.
There's a great line that I think that Terry has where she says, aren't you so – you're so special or something. You're nice to a man you see a couple of hours a day.
Mm.
And it's such – you know, for any of us who've ever had a crush on set, it's so easy because you're in this world where – you know, people bring you water and they tell you what to wear and, you know, yes. you have a parking spot and like you're sort of made to feel like you're just so important. And then you see this person across and sorry, I'm going to use you, Kevin.
Please,
and,
please
you know, and you just suddenly you're in this kind of bubble mm-hmm. together and you think this is meant to be. I mean, we just flow. And of course you forget about, you know,
the
taxes
rest of the life.
And laundry. And
anything outside of the walls.
Making choices for yourself. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I always thought that line was really clever. Mm. I mean, of course, you see him a couple hours a day. It's really fun to play eyes across the hallway, but that's not life.
Right.
But still nobody cared.
That's the thing, though, too. We are made, like, as the viewer, to really love Emma and sympathize with her. It's like, well, she's up to no good.
Thank you.
Like, what is she doing?
I
and then
know.
You come in with a voice of reason, but at this point, everyone's already convinced.
It
that,
was
like,
my push-up bra. People didn't like it. And she had, like, those bows, and everybody liked it. It's fine. Thank you, America.
Also, did you know Jennifer Aspen before?
No.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. Those scenes in season one with you and her... they just make me giggle all the way home.
She killed me. I mean, she made me laugh. Because she's somebody who really commits comedically so deeply. And her choices are a little arrhythmic. And they're just brilliant. She was brilliant.
I remember your scenes together were always like...
our favorite,
our collective
to watch,
as
yeah.
the Glee Club to watch. We get so excited.
She's like, walk on over to Dr. Chin.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
it's so good.
Oh my god, so good.
That's also one of my. We do favorite quotes from the episodes, yeah. and I was like, I hate you, Will. It's so funny.
Walking out of those, you talked about how we would watch, like they would screen the episodes at Paramount, and we'd walk out and we would always just quote you guys.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. We never knew that. We always felt we were like, oh, this is what people do.
No.
Like people go get their soda when we come on, waiting for the kids to come back.
Loved it. Because like we knew our stories. Like,
right.
So we never got to shoot with you guys. So every we'd see like, oh, these people were doing hilarious
things. That's what they were
things.
Doing.
Like, oh, this is so good.
When you guys were rehearsing or singing or dancing or all the other things
like,
you had
we're
to
tired,
do.
But these guys are really doing great work.
Do you have any other memorable episodes that you
one thing was also the scene that I had with Corey.
Oh yeah,
because that's the first time I got to work with Corey.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about, I'm sure you guys have talked about him a lot, but the thing about that scene was that was the moment I realized how talented he was, because he was not that character at all. That was a transformation that Corey made. Mm-hmm. And as you know, you knew him even better than I did. But out of that character, you know, he was a young man who was, independent in his life. He wasn't a teenager at all. And I remember asking him how he did it, because I thought it was incredible. And he told me that he would just empty out his head.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
And you can see him do it.
Yeah.
And I playing with him was so much fun, because it was so specific and it was so deliberate, but it was almost so good that sometimes I worried it was underestimated how much thought he had put into creating somebody who was seemingly without thought.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's like playing a dumb blonde. It's really, really hard.
Right.
Yep.
And
it's easy to put it on, but to actually embody it.
To embody it.
Like,
yes.
He was, as I watched, as like season one went on, Finn got dumber and dumber.
Right.
They like wrote to it. They're like, oh, brilliant. We'll just take it. And they're like, he's like, ooh, gummy bears.
Yeah. Like, it's what? True. I remember doing that scene with him when he comes in and I give him the medication. And there's a moment when they cut to me because I'm looking at his face. And I remember I was just like, what is he doing? It's incredible. You know, it was just such a fascinating performance.
Yeah. You put on a voice.
Happened that first day at Sheets and Things when he said she wasn't Gina. And Gina had a really low, she was a sexaholic. And she was
so
like,
the opposite.
I just remember going, I remember he came in, he brings me my lunch, and I'm complaining that I'm really tired because, I wrote the line. I think it's kind of the only line I ever wrote where I said, well, I am on my feet 4 hours a day, 3 days a week, and now you expect me to cook dinner for myself.
You did that?
And I just thought, like, she's just delicate.
Yeah.
And she wants to be cared for.
Yet she thinks she's working very hard.
I was exhausted. I think I even said that in this vitamin D episode. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm not built to work this hard.
Yeah. Oh, we love Terry.
Thank you, guys. That means a lot to me.
It's true, though. As kids, like, you know, we were kids when we were shooting, and so we didn't really understand these storylines.
Adult storylines. Yeah. We were in the kid world.
And I still have a problem. Like, she faked a pregnancy. Like, it's so wild.
Granted,
but there was
no way out of that.
I bought it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
but sadly. I bought it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That means a lot. I feel vindicated after 10
yes.
years of being so loathed. I mean, like,
Tina and Artie buy it, so you know what? You're good.
Thank you, guys.
Oh.
You guys know this, and you know it more than I do. You were a bigger part of the show, but they don't happen all the time.
Mm.
You know, if you get to be a part of something like this once in your life, you are so unbelievably blessed. And now, of course, it has this second life on Netflix.
So weird.
And I just meet so many kids who see themselves in the show again. And I think, as you were sort of implying, when you're in it, you know it's a phenomenon, but maybe you don't really understand that for people to see themselves in something that you're doing gives so much meaning to how you're spending your time. And I'm eternally grateful for that.
Yeah.
You know, if that was it, that would still be what does Rachel say? Being a part of something special makes you special.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's so good to see you.
Oh my gosh. Can I stay just all day?
Yeah, just
it's not
just
weird,
hang
right?
out. No.
Okay, guys, thank you.
Please.
Talk about
this
season
podcast
five
is now the three of us.
Brilliant. Done.
Terry, like, what would Terry say in this episode?
I would like to know what she's doing now.
Yeah, what is Terry doing?
What did I do? So I wrote an essay once because I think Terry was I think Terry went to Miami to do real estate. But I don't like that. I don't like being transferred when I leave a show.
Uh-huh.
And so I wrote an essay once that said, "Shoot me in the head or fuck me off a building, just don't transfer me to administration."
So good.
Because you don't want to be transferred.
No, you don't want to be transferred.
No.
Yeah.
So she went
to Miami to do real estate.
Oh,
boring.
Same hairstyle in Miami.
It actually plays well in
Miami.
Yeah,
it does. Very well in Miami.
Jocelyn, thank you for coming
in. Thank you. I love you both
so much.
Very, very love deeply.
You.
Long live Terry Schuster.
Aw.
Glee. Thank you guys for listening again with us. And
make sure you do your homework for next week. The episode is
Throwdown, which originally I think was called Smackdown.
It was Smackdown.
Yes. And we have a really, really great guest. And you won't want to miss it. So go watch Throwdown now.
We'll see you next week.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to Showman's Glee Recap Edition.
Get new episodes every Thursday on Spotify, PodcastOne.com, and Apple Podcasts.
Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jenna Ushkowitz.
Follow me on Instagram at Kevin McHale and on Twitter at Druidude.
Subscribe to the show.
Leave a nice rating.
And a 5-star review.
And spread the word.
See you next week.
Bye.
When you look at me like that, with your eyes when you say it, it's so creepy.
It's creepy? How do I look?
Like a creeper.
Well, have you met me?
Mm-hmm. Great.
That's all recorded.
Thank you. I know. You can keep that in. All right.